Hello and welcome back to the PAL with Reb T, the Pirkei Avos Learning, the show where we talk a Mishnah of Pirkei Avos per day with sagely commentary and practical advice to say in audio bursts on weeknights. We talked last time the intro. Welcome back to Season 4. Here we're talking about Mishnah 1-1 Aleph Aleph. Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai Masura LeYoshua VeYoshua LeZakenim VeZakenim LeNeviim. When Nevi'im Masur La'anchi Knesset Sagadola, Moshe received the Torah from Sinai and passed it on to Yoshua, Yoshua to the elders to the prophets passed it on to the men of the great assembly. Haim Amru Shalosha Dvarim, they said three things. Haim Masurim Badin, the Hamidu Talmidim Harbe V'asus Yagla Torah. Weigh your judgments carefully, establish many students, make a fence for the Torah. Moshe got the Torah from Sinai. It includes, again, we're using the commentary this year, this season, Rabbeinu Yonah, the fascinating commentator, fascinating commentary. So he received the Torah from Sinai. That includes the written and the oral Torah. The written was given complete with its commentary in the form of oral Torah. If not, it would have been impossible to understand it. For example, when it says, do not steal, including the prohibition of the laws of theft and damages, or Torah-ordained prohibitions received by Moshe at Sinai. There are many different classifications of blood, for example, many permutations of laws, many varieties of afflictions that we know because of the oral tradition. That's the meaning of the idea of the pasuk. According to these words, they've entered into a covenant for you. The word covenant refers to the oral Torah. The oral Torah was not meant to be committed to writing at first, and Torah is the written Torah and mitzvah is the oral Torah. But over time, especially when it was seen that the Klal or the Jews as a whole were not able to remember things, then it had to be codified by Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Rebbe into the Mishnah, and then later on that was like what I think of as the blueprints, as the spark notes, the Havdil, the Havdil, and then Ravina Ravashi codified it as Gemara, the explanations, the expoundations of the Mishnah itself. Yeshua to the elders, that's what the verse says. Israel served God all the days of Yeshua and all the days of the elders who lived after Yeshua. Then the elders to the prophets, prophets to the men of the great assembly. The prophets passed on the tradition to the men of the great assembly, like Ezra and his colleagues. Among them were prophets who lived at the time of the second temple, as it was taught in Yevamos. Rabbi Dosa ben Horkanus said, when Haggai the prophet said these things, he sat on his mortar. Haggai was still alive at the temple, indicates some of the prophets of the second temple were still alive after the destruction. The men of the great assembly passed on the tradition to their own contemporaries. They continued passing on to their children after them, and went generation to generation. That's how it was handed from sage to sage until the sages of Israel assembled and resolved to commit the Torah to writing. They wrote down the text of the Talmud and sealed it so that from then on there were no additions or subtractions, and they passed on to Gaonim, then from Gaon to Gaon, from teacher to teach until present day. So they said three things. Weigh your judgments carefully. Those who issue halachic rulings, this is what they really were talking about, they should not rely on their initial intuition. They should be using careful deliberation, study the case. Otherwise, they can err. One who is hasty in issuing rulings is called negligent, even if he sincerely intended to rule correctly, because the sages say, take care in your learning, because an accidental error in learning is considered intentional. A halachic authority must delve thoroughly into the matter at hand, allowing his thoughts to consolidate and postpone issuing a decision. You have to be very careful to make decisions, not just the authorities, but ourselves. We shouldn't judge other people. If we're going to judge, it should only be down the kavschus for the benefit. Thinking things through a second time uncovers new ideas and insights. And our sages warned us concerning litigation in particular, because greater caution is required in this crucial area than in other rulings. It's the main foundation of the knowledge of God. And there's a way to know Hashem through rendering judgment and halachic rulings, for Hashem also renders such rulings. That's the verse, if one does justice to the poor and destitute, it is good. Is this not knowing me, says the Lord? And prior to the Ten Commandments, the sages said in the Midrash, it says they judge the people at all times. You have to be very careful with judgment. Establish many students. It's the idea of Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says that we should teach everyone. A teacher will teach 100 students for the sake of 10 good ones, and the 10 in order to produce 2 are who are outstanding, and he will teach these two because there's no way to know which of them will succeed or whether both will be equally good. It's like the incident concerning Hillel. He gathered all the students together. He said to them, my students, are you all here? Yes, they replied, but one of them said, everyone came except for the least of us. Hillel said to them, bring that least one too, because in the future he'll be the leader of the generation. They brought him, and he was Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, the great Rav Yochanan. As we see, weaker students should never be pushed aside for the sake of stronger ones, which is a different theory, maybe Beis Shammai, but Beis Hillel said, teach everyone, for the kids become goats. The sages explain the verse, in the morning plant your seeds, in the evening do not rest your hand. If you have established many students in your youth, continue to establish many students in your old age. Teaching many students is a great thing and a source of much merit to the teacher, and make a fence for the Torah, as it says, you shall safeguard my statutes. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Noitz, pointed out, and right, Yishalmi Sanhedrin reestablished Torah Jewry after the destruction of the Second Temple. He moved the center of learning from the devastated city of Yerushalayim to Yavne. Talmud says of him that there wasn't a single thing he didn't know in Scripture, Mishnah, Talmud, Halacha, Agadah, grammar of the Torah, details of rabbinic laws, arguments from minor to major, laws learned from one verse to another, astronomy, gematria, the value of words, the numerical value, the language of angels, the language of demons, the conversation of trees, analogies of washerwomen, parable of foxes, a great matter or a small matter. He knew everything. That comes from Sukkah 28a. Making a fence safeguards statues. Fences are excellent, essential protection for the mitzvahs, protecting God-fearing people from stumbling over them, accidentally violating them. If you act in accordance with the enactments, it shows a greater love of God than one who observes only the commandments of the Torah. The fences, the rabbinic fences, are designed to keep us at a safe distance from any possibility of sin. It shows a greater reverence, a greater degree of reverence for Hashem than just the mitzvah itself. It shows that not only does he not mind keeping mitzvahs, but he's careful to not even stumble and sin. Using these safeguards, using these fences, and the words of the sages show that we're more careful and beloved to mitzvahs by observing the fences. All the mitzvahs are its ancillaries. The foundation, the main purpose of the universe, are the good attributes of the mitzvahs. All its mitzvahs are its ancillaries. The sages teach in the Midrash, your beloved ones are better than wine. The words of the sages are more precious than the wine of the Torah. Join us next time as we talk about three things that the world stands upon. Three very basic, very crucial things here on the PAL with Reb T. And I'm your host, Reb T.